Okay, it's time to preview, look forward to the big game from our perspective of the weekend, and that is Donegal v Galway, Galway v Donegal, and we've got quite a crew together to look forward to this game, not least our sports editor here, Oisín Kelly. Oisín, how are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg.
Are you excited?
We're very good, very excited, nervous. There's a sort of mixture of feelings and emotions ahead of this weekend, but we find ourselves in a place that we haven't been in, Greg, for 10 years. And particularly from where Donegal was last year to where we are now, it's been a phenomenal turnaround, and it seems to be sporting people in general across all codes, no matter what it is, have got a lift of how Donegal is doing. We were in Neve Connell last night. We had a brilliant show over there, a fantastic atmosphere. Even yesterday afternoon in the main street in Balbuffet up at the Credit Union, B&S Credit Union, everybody came through the door. All they wanted to talk about was Donegal in football, and even my own two twins this morning at 4 years of age, going out the door to summer camp, Greg, kitted out in their Donegal kits, going to the last day of the week at summer camp, and the hills of Donegal cranked up on Alexa as they were going out the door. So there's a, seems to be, there's a very, very feel-good factor around things at the minute.
Martin McHugh is with us as well. Martin, how are you getting on?
Good, Greg, not a problem.
Good,
good morning.
Would you just push that over that to the other side of Martin and just in front of his face?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Martin, how excited are you? Do you allow yourself to get excited? Because, you know, you're pretty passionate. We know that.
Yeah, pretty passionate, right? But having a young lad playing and everything else makes a difference, Greg. No.
Does that make it more difficult?
It makes you very nervous.
Especially when he's such a key player.
Yeah, very, very nervous with the whole thing. It was easier when you were playing yourself, because you could have some control of it. When you're out in the field, you might try to control something. But when you're definitely at it and have somebody playing, it's nervous enough even when Donegal is playing to be at any match. But when, especially when you have somebody belonging to you or somebody even from the club playing, it's nerve-wracking. So yeah, you don't really enjoy it, you know, anything else. But looking forward to it. We don't get to many semi-finals, so it's great. I think it's something like 9 semi-finals we've been in, but we lost 6 of them and won 3. I think that's the record we have so far going into this.
Why do you always have to drag that in? Come here. We have team news. We're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Just say good morning to Ollie Turner. Hi, Ollie.
Morning.
You're quite low there. Yes, just give us a bit of volume, Ollie.
Okay, lads. How's things? Good morning, everybody.
Yes,
Ollie. How are you? Good morning.
How are you getting on?
Hello, Ollie. How are you?
How are all the Donegals?
We are all very excited. There is such a buzz in our county. Like, it's massive. It feels like an All-Ireland final. What's the buzz in Galway like?
It's extraordinary since the Dublin victory has opened up everybody to the possibilities now that are endless for this Galway team. And I think there was a real sense of dejection the way the match against Armagh went for Galway, when we controlled it for about 55 minutes. And then it all went pear-shaped very, very quickly. And we ended up drawing that game. And it was as if we had lost, because it meant that we were second in the group and knew what was coming. And I mean, before a draw was ever made, we knew it was going to be Dublin. And there was a sense of forbearing. But who was to predict what would go on then in that All-Ireland quarter-final? And that's thrown the whole thing wide open.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, well, let's remind ourselves of the closing stages of that game.
Galway have won! It's the greatest day that Galway football has seen in over 2 decades. And every man, woman and child stands to applaud Pádraig Joyce and his gallant Galway men. Sweet mother of Jesus, they have pulled off the unthinkable. Forget about Taylor Swift. Shake it off in the Aviva and come over here to Croke Park, because you're witnessing the West awake. Galiv Abu.
Yes, 3 words come to mind there. Cool, calm and collected.
Who is that guy? Lunatic.
But there's nothing like it, is it, Ollie? And I think, you know what, just in that heat of the moment, you're really encompassed. And I think local radio does this like nothing else, if I'm going to be completely biased about it. You just really probably encompassed the mood, the feeling, the sense of everyone listening in that moment.
Well, I think it was the mood in the press box as well, and Martin has been there loads of times as well, and Oisín, and you know, there's those rare occasions when you're present at a match where it doesn't go to script, and whether you like it or not, like, the GAA is inbred into a lot of us, because it's in our DNA, and it's our communities, and it's everything about us. And while you play it cool for 60 minutes, then suddenly you can see, you know what, this might actually happen, and you don't let yourself believe it until it's there. And it's at that moment then that you just lose all the run of yourself, because suddenly something that's never happened to you before is happening in front of your eyes. And that's for us, beating Dublin in a championship game. And there's a lot of reasoning behind that. You know, if you're a young, young boy like I was, looking back in 1983, and at that stage, it was such a heartbreaking, devastating defeat for Galway. I don't know, is there another county in Ireland that has suffered a defeat like that, that would have such a huge psychological impact for the following generation? It was quite extraordinary what happened, to think that Galway couldn't beat 12 players in an All-Ireland final. It was a violent, vicious, horrible occasion that nobody in the GAA ever wants to talk about, let alone Galway. And yet, in 1998, suddenly from nowhere, this late, great, now legend, John O'Mahony, took us out of the wilderness. But we'd never beaten Dublin, or had the opportunity really, until 2018. And that was a Dublin team that nobody in a million years would ever beat, and we didn't. But here was a chance to lower the Dubs' colours in a real sense. And so I'm not saying it expunged all of the horrors of 83, but it certainly went a long way.
Yeah, I think so, Osh.
Can I heed a warning?
Yes.
Because we were in the exact same position, Greg, as Galway found themselves a couple of weeks ago against Dublin. Martin was sitting alongside me that day in 2014. And we sort of lost the run of ourselves as well after beating Dublin. This mighty Dublin team, and Jim McGuinness came in and wielded the sword. And there was a feeling that Donegal would not be beat that year. And look what happened on the All-Ireland final on that occasion. Yes, we'll let them enjoy it. We'll let them have it. They'll rightly go on to the game as favourites, Greg.
Do you think?
They're after
Martin
beating
McHugh.
Dublin.
Well, of course.
I know Ollie's on about 1983. We still didn't get over that semi-final defeat to Galway in 1983. That was one of my first time ever to play in Croke Park with Donegal was 83. We won Ulster that year, and Galway beat us by probably fortuitous enough goal, Ollie, if you remember back to that time when it had a Donegal player in the way and ended up in the net. So yeah, I always remember that final. I was actually at that final. It wasn't a great advertisement for the GAA and everything else, but I suppose at the time that Dublin was a team that it was whatever it took to win, they were going to get over the line and everything else. And but looking at Galway and Donegal, Greg, we're very alike. I think it's like as people, and we produce great footballers. Both counties produce very naturally talented footballers, and you know, I think it's going to be a great occasion. I think it's you know, there's no real, you know, history between the two teams or anything else. So I think both sides are really looking forward to it, and it's a very big occasion. It's hard to get back to semi-finals, and I think the big thing, I think football's going to change after this year with the new rules. So this could be the last year of the present day that we see Gaelic football, looking at all the rules they're talking about. So this is going to be a big one to win an All-Ireland for whoever wins it. And suppose we look at it from the point of view of everybody's kind of saying, well, 2014, was it Donegal beat Dublin to win an easy All-Ireland for Kerry? Mayo beat Dublin times to win an easy All-Ireland for Kerry. So we, between ourselves and Galway, we hope that Galway haven't beaten Dublin to win an easy All-Ireland for Kerry again.
Yeah. Right, OK, shall we get the team news?
Yeah,
that we
team
have
news.
Because we've got Brendan Devaney joining us in a moment. We've got Garvin McDade on the call as well. He's going to be joining us, but we'll just get the team news now.
Yeah, people team news, one change in Donegal. Jack McKelvey has been named in the half-forward line, taking the place of Conor O'Donnell. Conor O'Donnell's not in the match day 26. Seems to be the Kieran Dunham man who's been plagued with injury over the last year. Worked his way back and was doing well, may have picked up another injury, so he's not in the 26. So Jack McKelvey, comes in for his first start of the championship, and just his second start of the year. He started against Louth in the league earlier in the year, but we wait to see if it's going to be that 15 that lines out. The other 14 players all took to the field in the semi-final. So Kieran Moore, who was named in midfield, drops back to cornerback. Kieran Thompson is into midfield now alongside Michael Langan. And in a plus for Donegal supporters is we wait to see if he will appear from the bench, or even if he starts. Jason McGee, who's had a huge game, is named in the match day 26, but we wait to see if he is fit enough to be named from the start come match day, or indeed have an impact in the game. So from Galway's point of view, they've also released the same 15. So it seems to be that Mr. Walsh is okay, Ollie.
Look, lads, we can have a preview here until 3 o'clock this afternoon talking about
matchups. That's all right, we'll do that.
forget about them, lads. Those teams are not going to be lining out like that. End of story. You think Jim McGuinness and Pádraig Joyce are going to put out the two teams that have just been announced? It's nonsense. One thing I can say is I'm really disappointed for a young lad called Cian Hernan from Barna, who came on to great effect in the second half against Dublin. He broke his hand in training after that match. He's in a cast, so he's not even named in the 26. That's a big disappointment because he's played a fair bit in the championship in the latter stages. I know he played against Westmeath. He started that game in Mullingar in the round robin and really played a blinding second half in Croke Park. No more than the other subs that came on for Galway. They made a huge impression. Sean Kelly went off before halftime. He's named to start. I'm just worried about Sean because he's just not moving with the same fluidity that he would have been for the last few years. And I wonder whether, you know, he will play any part in this game on Sunday. Shane Walsh had the hamstring. I was a bit disappointed. Shane Walsh was left on for about 5 minutes if you watch the end of that Dublin game too long. He had pulled up and he really should have been taken off. That was on about 63 minutes, but he was left on for another few minutes until eventually he hobbled off, and I just hope that that didn't do damage. But he had his hamstring well iced straight away, and it's been a problem for Shane for the last number of months, so it's not new. And we hope that, you know, he'll be back to full fitness, because look at Croke Park is his playground. There's no doubt about it. Damien Comer came through the last day, so he should be okay. So the one I'd be worried about is Sean Kelly, whether or not he'll play a part. But okay. I think there'll definitely be one or two changes.
Cheers for that. I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to take a break, if that's all right, Ollie. And that's Ollie Turner, by the way, the commentator on Galway Bay FM, because we've other guests to introduce, loads of people to talk to over the next 45 minutes. But we'll take this quick break and then we'll be back with much more. Stay where you are. V Galway.
That's McFarland against Patton. Here comes McFarland. See ya! John Patton has saved it, and he's the hero of the day, and Clonus, and I'll name it those for Clonus.
One of my best days in Clonus, I have to say. That was someone. Tell you, this has been some Ulster championship, and the start of the year we weren't given much of a chance. But what a one for Donegal. This will do the world for us.
Okay, well, we can do it too, you know. That was a very excited. Brendan Devaney was in there, wasn't he? And of course, Martin McHugh. It's a great commentary to listen back to, especially the more exciting times. Oisín.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. Excuse me. Listen, that was a great day for us and Clonus. And again, there was so much emotion and passion and excitement, like you heard it in Martin's voice, because nobody was giving Donegal a hope this time last year, and to turn it all around and to win an Ulster title in the manner that we did and beat the teams that we did, that made it even more special. And you heard Brendan roaring, and you can hear Mark McHugh actually roaring in the background because he tumbled half the press area, so he did, just to get over to hug his father when the penalty was saved. But that was a great day that will live long with us, but we're hoping that there's more to come. And we're hoping that Sunday's going to go the way of Donegal. And there is a Donegal influence in the Galway county. So there is, across different fronts, but particularly in the football. And we're going to say a very good morning now to Garvin McDade. Garvin, welcome along
good
to the programme.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Garvin. Delighted that you can join us. We'll maybe give the people a bit of a background that don't know you. Garvin McDade, living in Galway, is the father of Galway player Killian McDade, but Garvin is originally a Donegal man. His father, Eamon McDade, was the football special man down in Remelton. So we do have an influence in the Galway camp. What's it like in your house this week, Garvin? Because I know it's a bit nervous in the McHugh house. Martin's alongside
Absolutely.
Us here. What's it like
in
yours?
I'm glad to hear that Martin is nervous, because Martin's been around this for a long time, longer than we have, you know. So I take great solace from hearing that Martin and his gang at home are nervous, because, this house is a nervous house. It's quiet. There's not a lot said, really. Killian actually lives at home. But he just goes about his business in a very quiet way. There's not much talk. And I suppose, like probably most households, we'd love if in the next half an hour we'd wake up and the game was being thrown in, you know, and it would start, you know. So,
Is that what it's like for you, Martin?
Yeah, I'm just thinking there, you know, I was just watching him the last day, Killian McDade, and I was saying, wouldn't it be great if we had a Donegal jersey on that man?
Well, he was actually born in Dublin, Martin.
We'll take him.
Don't go
there. Is there any chance you'd move all back to Donegal? We'd be really doing with him.
Sign nothing, Garvin.
We'd love it. Yeah, yeah. There's a big dad was one of the McDade sons from the Bartland stores in Romelton. So yeah, we've a great association in the county. We've loads of cousins and uncles and aunts and first cousins all living around, you know, from Rathmullen to Kerrykeel to Letterkenny to Romelton, you know. So
John Diver was on to me numerous times during the week. Garvin, obviously a relation of the McDade clan, yeah, as well, and he was giving me some tips about how Romelton is playing such an important role in what has gone on, right, and obviously the McDade connection. But likes of Kieran Moore playing for Donegal, Romelton born. Jack McKelvey actually played underage soccer for Swilly Rovers when he lived back in Romelton as well. So it's like Kilcara times, Garvin. There's always a connection with Romelton some way along the line.
Yeah, and of course the Kellys and Mike Cullen have a big association with Romelton.
And a lovely piece I've seen in one of the Limerick newspapers. You sent it on to me earlier in the week of Sheila McDade as well, who still holds home very close to her heart.
Absolutely, yeah. A bit torn these times. She suffers with a small bit of dementia, but at times she's quite lucid and will talk about the game and say that she'll support Killian. But then yesterday I spoke to her and she wasn't for turning at all from Donegal. So
we were joined by Seamus O'Malley last night up at the Neve Connell Club. We'd done a programme, Garvin, and he was obviously a Galway man and a Galway native living in Donegal, but he sees it as a 1-1 situation for his house, no matter who wins at the weekend. Mm-hmm. Is it a bit like that in yours, is it?
No. Maybe it's 6 o'clock on Sunday evening. We'll reassess. But no. We're all behind Killian and the Galway troops for Sunday, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Some of your relations, however, may be back in Donegal all the way. Grace Boyle is joining us, Donegal County Treasurer. Grace, a very good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Garvin. How are you?
Good morning, Grace. How are you, cousin?
Not so bad. It would be fair to say we better mention the Canning connection and Glenvar as well, Santa Sheila.
Absolutely, yeah. Sheila is a Canning from Glenvar.
Not to be fair, we do claim the McDade side, but to be fair as well, Auntie Sheila is 98 and she's well looked after by her extended family. And an odd time you see Facebook thing up and she's singing the Homes of Donegal or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. And she knows every single word of it.
Very good. How's your week been, Grace? I'm sure it's very busy.
It's very busy and we're just trying to get past Sunday. And we're all very nervous, there's no doubt about it. Everybody's nervous, I think. And Garvin said about he would hope it would be half an hour before the game. I'm hoping it's a half an hour after the game. Yeah. We can all start breathing again.
Yeah, but from a Donegal GA point of view, Grace, obviously you have a very important role there as treasurer, and there's a lot going on at the minute.
Yeah, there is. There's no doubt about it. Like, no matter what budget you didn't budget for Donegal being at this stage in the championship. And it's all, everybody's doing their part, but we have to back the senior team 100%. And whatever's needed has to be given. And no different from any team that is representing Donegal. We try our best to give them 100% support.
Garvin, just from in terms with Killian, and you say he's living in the house, and you know he's your son, obviously, but he's also this superstar and has a real big role to play at the weekend. Is it what's your role relationship in the build-up to the game in the home? Is it just maintain home life and a break from the football? Is it to sort of, you know, G him up, or you know, it's a tough role for a dad, that, or anyone in the family?
It'll be the complete opposite. Killian just wants to be left alone.
Yeah.
He probably is in his zone already. You know, the train Tuesday and the train last night. He came home last night. You know, sat down 15 minutes, cup of coffee, gone to bed. He's thinking about it. I see him looking on his computer, looking at games and looking at scenarios, and just he's in his zone, and that's it. Some mornings he would leave to go to a match, even against Mayo. He wasn't named on the 26, and we didn't know that he was actually on the 26 until I was walking to the game and I got a text message say he's on the 26, but he left he left a few hours before that, didn't say a word to us that he was on the 26th, and that's the way he is. He just gets into his quiet zone and just prepares himself quietly, you know.
Yeah, Martin, what's it like in your family circle?
Yeah, it's the same everywhere, you know. I'm just wanted to say one thing about Kelly McDade. I think he's one of the greatest footballers I've seen playing Gaelic football.
Wow.
He's a really, really brilliant footballer, and he's every quality you need in a Gaelic footballer, and that's why I'd love to have seen him, as I said, Gregory, on Twin Culture. It's no difference. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, Ryan's got married now, and he's living in Killybegs and everything else. Now he's opened a coffee shop in Donegal Town, so he's, you know, really busy with everything and everything else for work. He works for Ryan's then in Balbuffet, but he's very, very busy with everything. So we don't see a lot of him. Even Mum, he said last night, Patrice, I haven't seen Ryan in a couple of weeks. So, you know, they do their own thing. I mean, the training and the effort and, you know, commitment with gyms and everything else, they're doing everything else. But I just laughed at one last weekend. Actually, last weekend, I was down the Haven, in the Blue Haven, just for a bite to eat, and Brendan McCall's mum and dad was there, and actually Ryan came in, he was on the way in home, and he came into the house, and Brendan McCall's mother said, where were you this weekend, because my man doesn't tell us anything. So no, they're completely, you know, that's their family. Their family is at the county team, and that's their family, and you know, that's what they do. And Owen, you know, you have to give them a lot of credit. I mean, we have to remember this is an amateur sport, and if you told people the commitment and effort that they're putting in and the training and everything else they do, we all know it. And, you know, the sad thing is there has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. But, you know, I think, you know, it's I always say it's great. We talk about, the, you know, the connection between Donegal and Galway. And remember the 2012 Ireland final, the big connection between Mayo and Donegal as well. There's so many connections out there with footballers and everything else with people. So I just look at it's a great occasion. It's a game of football in the end up. And, you know, let's go. And whoever wants it, the other team will support. I think we'll support each other when we go forward.
Galway Bay commentator Ollie Turner, of course, is with us still. What did we talk about what the mood is amongst the public, Ollie, in Galway? Is it nervousness? Is it excitement? Is it confidence? Is it trepidation? Like, what are you gauging from the wider public?
I think there's a renewed interest. I mean, if the truth be known, there wasn't that many Galway supporters up there for that Dublin match. And that's typical Galway. We're not like Mayo. We don't have supporters that will go to every league game and every FBD game and every championship game. We are the ultimate bandwagon county. And there will be a huge crowd up at this match. I think you'll know already, all they're selling at the moment, lads, are Upper Hogan and Upper Cusick.
Up in
tickets.
The 700s, isn't it?
That tells you that, you know, the bottom half of Croke Park is sold all the way around. So I'd imagine we're north of 50,000 already in terms of the interest. So there is huge interest. It's quite a funny thing, the GEA, like, because I was talking to a man yesterday who was telling me he's from Clarenbridge, and he has a pub out there. And he says there's a busload going from Clarenbridge, which is a traditional hurling club and a hurling area. But he was saying that these kids, and a lot of them are kids, when I say kids, they'd be like teenagers, early 20s, they're going up, they're going to be on the hill, and it's more the occasion. It's more, look, here I am with the mobile phone out and take the selfie and take the video and be here as part of the game. And I'd say the result to a lot of people will be incidental. So it's extraordinary to see that element as well in the GAA. But of course, amongst the football fraternity who will be out in force, there is a certain nervousness. I think most of that is caused by Jim McGuinness. So anybody that talks about it here in Galway, they're just wary that, you know, in beating Dublin, did we do something to help everybody else? And I know Martin said about Kerry, they're the obvious beneficiaries. But even from a Donegal perspective, I'm sure McGuinness was licking his lips when he saw that result on the Saturday ahead of Donegal's match with Louth, to say this is a pathway now to an All-Ireland final that might just be, dare I say it, a tiny bit easier. Now, look, it's an ultimate 50-50 game. There's no question about that. I don't see either side as being favourites. Delighted to be joined by former Galway midfielder Eddie Hoare, who jumps in on the conversation as well here, lads. We'll get Eddie's thoughts in a moment. But I think there's a genuine excitement around the county. I know Eddie is, well, he's just stepped down as the mayor of Galway City as well. St. Michael's is your club, Eddie, and I know there's a strong city involvement with Paul Conroy from St. James's, and you've got the Salt Hill lads. Do you think there's a good vibe in the city ahead of this match as well as their excitement?
There definitely is. I think football's in a good place in the city, like you touched on. Paul Conroy probably playing the football of his life, 33, 34 years of age, and really flying, and Salt Hill, Natnacara, a lot of representation there. And I think all clubs in the city, and also extending to Cunamarin and indeed North Galway, I'd say, are very optimistic for Sunday and looking forward to it, but do realise that there will be a really, really difficult task in hand.
Yeah, I just wonder, lads, I mean, there's a certain sense of the unknown, isn't there? There isn't a huge history, as has been alluded to already. Only twice ever we've played in semi-finals in 83 and 74. We've met in the championship, you know, seven times over the years, but they're all irrelevant.
Well, Ollie,
stats,
can we bring in Brendan here? And you can chat away to Brendan yourself here. This is a co-production because, you know, we see your former Intercanty player and we raise you too. We've got Martin, of course, Martin McHugh. We've got Brendan Devaney. I was going to ask Brendan Devaney what he'd be doing now if he was preparing for this semi-final, but I'm not sure we can before nine in his day. Brendan, good morning to you.
We've been enjoying the experience, Greg. Everybody's had away from it now. But yeah, funny Ollie mentions 83. I was actually at 83. Obviously, my mum's Galway, huge family down there. And I was actually down in Shum. And my uncle took me up to the game. Before that, I'd been to a couple of Galway, All-Ireland, hurling semis and finals. So that was my first experience as a Croke Park. They're all linked to Galway.
And do you see this as a 50-50 game, Brendan?
Yeah, listen, the reason I suppose that Galway are slight favourites is because they were in the final in 2022 and played some brilliant football sets, and it's just been they've been beset with injuries and never really hit the form, but they've showed glimpses of it, and obviously the fact that they beat Dublin, Donegal having a very strange victory over Louth, has meant that people are kind of aging the wires. But, you know, obviously it comes down to who takes the pitch. Ollie mentioned about the setup of players. I just tuned in there and, you know, who's going to play well. And I think the last day, if you look at the way the team's playing now, everybody's playing a certain shape, defensive solidity, and then certain players of brilliance step up. And I think the last day it was Dillian McHugh, Killian McDade and Walsh for Galway. For Donegal, it was Ryan McHugh, it was Kieran Moore, and it was Patrick Mogan. And how are those players then, how does the defence react to try and shut them down the next day? Who can get their main men on the balls at the right time? I think that's what it's all about. It's about a game plan, then it's about moments of brilliance. But, you know, certainly there seems to be a huge doubt over Walsh. And I only think McGee will play if absolutely necessary. I think if should we be able to make a final, I think it's then that you would see him. But listen, that might not be an option. He might need to go in. So I just think Galway on their experience and a couple of performances. I know they've had some poor performances this year. I think the one we should be more weary of the way they bossed Armagh game in Sligo that day. That's a good Armagh side who had a huge victory against Derry just previous, and they were lucky to come back in and get a draw. So I think there's a real maturity in this Galway side. And as I say, with the subs coming on the last day, all hitting points, you know, Darcy, Heaney, Killian, you know, they've got ability coming off the bench, which is all markers for a top team. That said, you know, Jim, you know, 5 years now, four semi-finals, you know, he's brought the magic back.
Ollie?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the subs will have a big bearing on this game as well. And that's why I was saying earlier on that it was disappointing to hear about Cian Hernan's injury as well, Eddie, that he's going to be missing for the rest of the championship with a broken hand. That's a big blow now.
He's a big loss, and that's something I took note of this morning, that he's not in the panel, has dropped out, and he is a big loss. While he was only on for a short period of time against Dublin, he's a really good player and was actually starting to fine form, having been in America for the early parts of the year, so it is a loss.
There's one thing that's very interesting to talk about is the discussion we had beforehand about Dublin starting with their strongest team. So I don't know what you guys think about, you know, finishing with a team that's stronger than you started, which seemed to be the mantra in the GAA there for a couple of years, and Dublin would always have traditionally done that, but they loaded all their big guns in at the start, and suddenly you look at the last 15 minutes, the last day, the Dubs completely ran out of gas. I mean, even Brian Fenton being burned by Johnny Maher, Saul Tillman, for the last 20 minutes, he was out of it. Yeah. It was quite extraordinary.
It was unusual for Desi Farrell. It booked the trend of what he used to do or is normally did. I did think James McCarthy might be an ideal man to pick up Sean Kelly and to match him, as Lahiff hadn't been hitting the heights of previous years, and midfield was an area. But going with McCaffrey and Mannion, it left the bench quite low in depth.
So this is the point then. I mean, what we're talking about here, lads, is can we compare the two teams that will play the last 15 minutes? Because I think it's going to be that tight. Would that be a fair place to start a discussion for a couple of moments? Because I think we're looking at, again, Johnny Heaney playing a huge part. He might be needed from the start, depending on the injury scenario with Sean Kelly and maybe with Shane Walsh as well. But then you've got the other guys who came in and made a big impact from Galway, like Tom O'Culhane. Will he get, you know, 15 minutes again? There's no doubt he will after he delivered the last day.
Sorry, Ollie, but flipping that around, you talked about that Dublin ran out of gas. Given the fact that Galway have these injury concerns that we wait to see what level they're at. The likes of Walsh, Finnerty, obviously Sean Kelly in the middle of the field. Going down the stretch, is that a situation that Galway Martin possibly could find themselves in to what Dublin did the last day?
Well, it's interesting when you look at Galway, and we were saying about injuries and everything else, and they are getting injured players back and everything else, but they all seem to play every day. So I was just thinking, I remember way back when I used to manage, I used to say to players, it's all in your head. Maybe Pádraig Joyce is one of the old stock as well, telling them, get out there and play, you're okay and everything else. So I think Galway will probably start with most of the team that they have named. Looking at it, it seems like now Kelly probably is a doubt, all right, considering he's gone off most games, and that's using someone. But I know that you've lost young Hearn with a broken wrist, but Conor O'Donnell, it's from a Donegal point of view. Conor O'Donnell worked so hard to get back into the Donegal team, and he just came back in the later stages of the group stages, and now it looks like he's not going to play any part in Sunday because he's not named on the 26th. Yeah. That's a big blow to Donegal, but a big blow to the young lad himself, because he's one of the most talented players we've produced in Donegal. So just disappointing. But suppose with it, this split season, everything else, obviously not coming on top of you all the time, you're going to have that situation that players are going to pick up. Can I make just one point from a Donegal supporter's point of view, Greg? I think 4 o'clock is too late. I think on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's unfair. The game's not over to 6:30. Donegal people are not back to 12 o'clock if they stop for someone to eat at night. I think we've got to start thinking about our supporters and our people when we make decisions of what time we're playing these games at. There's no reason why that game couldn't be at 3 o'clock. You know, we'll have the other game at 1 o'clock. There's no reason whatsoever. So I think that's disappointing, because you must realise how far it's to travel up. Anyway, I just even heard people saying the day, you know, that they couldn't go to the game because the game is too late because they work the following morning and they get back. So that's just one disappointing thing from Donegal. But
I'm just going to go back to what you were saying, Ollie. I'm going to ask Martin on it, because you were questioning is who's going to have the stronger side come the end of the game. Martin, who do you feel would have the stronger bench here? Ollie can probably tee us up. Ollie, how many on the bench have actually been involved in those All-Ireland underage finals for Galway over the last...
From a perspective, I suppose we look through it here. You know, you look at... I mean, John Daly is the obvious guy who has had to make way for Sean Mulkern in recent times as well. So he'd be a strong player to bring in. It was a kind of a big move for Pádraig Joyce to drop John Daly, all-star defender. And I don't know what was, maybe his form, whatever it is, but he made a big, big call to drop John Daly for the Armagh game. He's still there now to come in as an impact sub, obviously. But Sean Mulkern has been a revelation since he started that game. And that's only 2 games ago. So he has transformed the whole thing. Obviously, he'd have been fullback for Galway in previous seasons. But here he is now, because Sean Fitzgerald is a very solid fullback for Galway, operating at wing back and doing great things. So I suppose the fact that John Daly is there, he's an obvious guy that would be in a position to come in. You know, Keane Darcy and Johnny Heaney had massive impacts in terms of their physique the last day. Now, both came in quite early in the game, early in the second half for Heaney, late in the first half for Sean Kelly, for Keane Darcy. So both will play. So I think there's a core group there of 18 that are guaranteed to play for Galway. The one guy who will probably come in as a sub in the second half that wasn't involved the last day is Cathal Sweeney, the Sault Till man. Now, he's a big addition. So I suppose when you talk about the loss of Keane Hernan, Cathal Sweeney is back. So it's pretty much like for like. And he will play, I'd say, Eddie, a good 20 minutes in the second half the next day, Cathal Sweeney.
I'd expect he will. Pádraig likes him. He's a vibrant player. He has the attributes to see out a game quite well. So he is an addition, albeit Keane Hernan is a loss. Cathal Sweeney is an addition. It has been involved since 2022 and has been getting more game time, and is versatile as well. Can play wing back, wing forward. So it does give that little bit of versatility. But going back to the bench, definitely Keane Darcy, Johnny Heaney. Johnny would have been a seasoned player since Kevin Walsh brought him in 2015 or 2016. You have Liam O'Connella came on, was impactful right. The last day. He was busy, got on a lot of ball. And Tomo Culhane, again, any lad that kicks a winning point against All-Ireland champions Dublin, he's going to be brimming with confidence and chomping to get in there. I was surprised Sean Kelly was named. Shane might be, but I'd be surprised at Sean. And traditionally, like Martin said, Pádraig does usually play the team that he lines out. So I'm just surprised that Sean is there, but just hopeful that he has received the treatment, the bit of rest, and is ready to go. Maybe the midfield role, traditionally we would have seen him lining out at full back. In full back, you're probably required to turn a little bit sharper on your ankles. He has that bit more freedom out the middle of the pitch to be able to compensate as such. But it'll be interesting to see, does he line out? And if he does, it's a big big play for Galway, but it'll be interesting to see before the throw-in.
Sure, Martin, what about Donegal? The guys are talking there about impact subs from Galway. Obviously, Jason McGee is the name that you would look at. Now, we would like to see Jason McGee be in from the start to tackle this Galway midfield, but at some stage in the game, maybe the Clohanilly man may be introduced, because when he has been involved, he has been tremendous this year. But is there anybody else within that Donegal substitute bench, or that bench there, the players that can come in that can make an impact for Donegal?
Yeah, well, I think, Logan, I mean, listening to the lads there, you know, this is a very strong Galway team and squad of players. There's no doubt about it. And we see even the experience they have in players. As we talked about Cal Sweeney, and they've Daniel O'Flaherty, John Daly. They've got a very, very strong Johnny Heaney. These players have come off the bench, which, you know, they are. There's no doubt that Galway have a strong squad of players, and probably people say that's what you need if you're going to win an All Ireland. From Donegal's point of view, is Jason McGee's the big one. Will he start? Will he just come into the game at a stage? It depends on how he is and how he's going in training and everything else. You have Mark Corn that has played a lot of games this year, corner back. You know, you have Jamie Brennan comes off the bench. Aaron Doherty was normally the first sub on. You have Charles McGinnis played against Kilcairn Towney in a league match, was very, very impressive. It's good to see young Luke McGlynn named on the subs as well. He played games last year. You have Oran Doherty, you have Keelan McColgan, who's played as well, and you have the experienced Stephen McMenamin. So look, you need a squad of players. It's a strong bench.
Is it as strong as Galway?
It's not, probably not as experienced anyway, or strong that way as Galway. There's no doubt about it, but that's understandable. You can have to say that we're probably 3-4 years behind Galway, where we look at it at the minute and our development and everything else. From that point of view, you know, that's understandable enough. But look, at everything happens on the day, and on the day things can change everything else. But you have to say, if you were looking at the two squads, you say that Galway have a stronger squad of players with the subs and everything.
Just before we go for a break, we'll bring Brendan Devaney back in. Brendan, big games are for big players. We've mentioned the likes of Ryan McHugh, Patter Mogan, Kieran Moore, who have had big games in recent weeks. There's no doubt Pádraig Joyce is doing his homework and targeting these players, but who would Donegal be looking to really, really come to the fore this coming weekend?
Yeah, well, I think probably Niall O'Donnell's, it's a massive one for him, you know, taking off at half time the last day, didn't have a huge game against Clare. I think that, you know, we mentioned the players that really stood up the last day. It's hard to have back-to-back brilliant games, although you wouldn't discount that happening. But certainly it's up to the other players to really come to the fore. You know, seeing the brilliance of Oisin Gallen, McBertie, whatever way we play that inside line. Darrell Boyle's another one. You know, there's probably more in him. I think Kieran Thompson came good in the second half, the last day, very quiet first half. So we need everybody firing, because, as I say, we're going to look to shut down the Galway main men, and vice versa, it's going to happen the other way. And you can be sure, if the likes of Patter Mogan and Ryan McHugh drop a shoulder and take off, Galway are going to look to get two or three around and cut out that danger which Donegal profited from the last day. So listen, I agree with Martin, it's hard to say from the bench. You know, obviously Doherty coming in, you know, the point of Clonus in particular, he's got that in his locker. You know, Jamie Brennan, that pace when he comes on as well, when the game opens up, and if we need some reinforcements, you know, the likes of McCaughan breaking from defence as well. You know, I think Mark Kern will have to start for sure, because I think Galway played two up with Comer and Finnerty. We need two out-and-out defenders in there as a basis. And then if Shane was to play and drop out, you know, you're looking at possibly someone like an Owen Bann picking him up and maybe taking him up the pitch if he does make it. I don't think he is going to make it, but if he does. And listen, I hope everybody gets on the pitch. You know, this thing of injuries and that, you want to see the best players out there. You want to beat the best team and have them all on the pitch. So I think whatever happens, I agree with the boys, it's down to an absolute 50-50. Neither team's conceding goals. You know, Donegal just one game against Cork and that blip from a Gleeson kickout against Armagh for Galway. So if one of the sides was to conjure up a goal, you know, that could be the difference in it. If it comes down to points, you'd fancy it's nothing in it. And again, for Galway, I think with the power out around midfield to squeeze up and put the pressure on Patton, you know, and with McGee not there, that is going to be a place where they're looking to profit. Obviously, they like to go long with their own kickouts and back themselves anyway. They have a height advantage out around the middle, and that could have a big telling in the game.
All right, Brendan, just before we let you go, and we're going to go as well back to Garvin in just a moment, and I do know we have a break to take. Before we let you go, Brendan, how's Sunday going to go?
Yeah, from her perspective, Listen, we hope it goes a Donegal direction. These come few and far between, these opportunities. But listen, I know people are saying about Galway further down the tracks and that, but listen, we don't know what happens in football. The opportunity's there for a final, and you know the Dubs are gone, and listen,
I'm going to have to jump in here, Brendan. He asked you who's going to win on Sunday. Hey, listen, it's not the local elections, come on.
I'll leave that to Ollie. Hey. It's in the lap of the gods. Say, you're the best team in. It's a game of football, but there's no point in me telling you Donegal's going to win.
Come on, Ollie. I can
guarantee you one thing. As soon as Martin McHugh mentioned 4 o'clock and the poor old people in Donegal getting home late, I can absolutely guarantee you now, Martin, extra time and penalties, because this is set up for Donegal people to get home at about 2:30 in the morning. And there's every chance it'll go that close, lads, because look at the way that modern football is. And it's all about timing your run to get those key scores with almost the last play, so the opposition don't have time to kick the ball out and get an equaliser. The chances are 14, 15 points will win this game. The chances are 14, 15 points will draw this game. And this one could be no more than 1 point game all the way through. And as long as it's that close, refs are inclined to make the other team get a chance to draw it up, like Dublin did the last day. And if either team does, I'm telling you, this could be a really long evening.
Okay, Ollie and Eddie, you might stay with us just okay. And yeah. We'll get another word here now from Garvin. We'll let Garvin go as well for joining us. So, Garvin, you've been listening to both sides from Galway and Donegal. Has your perspective on this match changed any over the last 40 minutes?
No, it hasn't. You know, I suppose we'd be looking at, you know, a game similar to the All-Ireland final 2 years ago, you know, with a different result. I think these are two really good footballing teams, you know, with good defences, good structures, and some really good key forwards, you know. We're hoping, yeah, for a Galway victory, but looking forward to a really good game of football, you know.
All we can say is may the best team win, guarantee.
Absolutely.
Okay. And listen, we appreciate you joining us today on the programme.
No problem. Thanks for the call.
Okay. Thanks, Garvin.
Okay, we're going to go for a quick break. We'll be back with more from Martin McHugh, Eddie Hoare and Ollie Turner after these. Yeah, but Greg, listen, we're into the final minutes of this special ahead of the big game, and maybe we'll bring Eddie Hoare in on this one. Eddie, just a question about, I suppose, the way Galway and the style of play that they've been working on for the last number of years. They have changed things. Is that very much down to Kian O'Neill, is it?
I think so, yeah. Well, they've been forced to change and they have, and they've reaped the rewards. Starting from Conor Gleeson in goal, traditionally now he's going for the long kick out. They're back in their midfielders, they're mid late to win primary possession. So that in itself is a positive step. They're getting the ball inside where we have the dangerous forwards, and probably that's the full forward line everyone in Galway would recognise is probably our strongest full forward line, and to have all those fit, you want the ball getting into them, and I think that's the methodology. And then at the back, I think there's a big emphasis on protecting the D, but not just protecting the D, but having Dylan McHugh, Sean Mulkearns having the licence to go forward and take scores if given the opportunity. So definitely, I know was touched on earlier in the shows in terms of Galway being further down the track, and I think they are. This team has evolved over the course of the last number of years, and I think is playing better football as a result.
Yeah, and just from a Donegal perspective, Eddie, as a Galway man looking in, what do Galway need to be very, very careful about this weekend?
I think against Louth, you could see obviously Ryan McHugh's been doing it year in, year out. Coming from the back, making late darts, runs, backdoor cuts, and same at Padraigmogan. So they need to be tagged. I think it's a different proposition for the Galway half forward line tackling, are trying to counter Ryan and Padraigmogan. Whereas I think Dublin were a different type of half back line, not as abrasive in terms of breaking forward. So we have to be conscious and mindful of that. And inside as well, obviously, Oisin Gallen has been really, really prolific and has grown into the championship over the course of the last number of years, and is obviously you're a mainstay now in the side. So he will take watch, and it'll be interesting to see who picks him up. Again, I'd expect either Johnny McGrath or Jack Lane, who traditionally be our man markers, will pick him up, and maybe Sean Fitzgerald will be with McBrearty, who'll be a more physical player. But again, that's open to see, but that's what I would foresee. But again, to the supply of ball inside, and I always refer to it when I analyse games, is can we win enough primary possession to get the ball in? Because if you're getting good ball into Shane Walsh, Damien Comer and Robert Finnerty, they're going to score, and equally on the other end, if you're getting good ball into Shingal and Patrick McBrearty and Niall O'Donnell when he's on form, they're going to do damage. So it's really, really important. I think Galway will go for the we'll go along with the kickouts. Patton obviously has it within his locker to maybe mix it up a little bit, and if Galway do press up, he has the ability to go to beat the press. But that'll be an interesting. I always cite the middle eight, and in my view, again, not just being a Galway man, I think Galway are strong there, we're physical, and we have the ability to be able to win enough primary possession to get the ball into the inside line.
Okay, listen, we would love to talk for the next number of hours about Donegal v Galway, but we're coming into the final seconds of the programme here. So I suppose, guys, over to you in Galway and the Galway Bay FM studios. How's this one going to go in your eyes on Sunday?
I think it'll be close. I have a feeling it'll be a long evening, and I'm not messing in thinking that extra time could come into play here and maybe even more. So it will be a moment at the end of the game that will decide this, like a Tom O'Callaghan type of moment, or maybe at the other end for Donegal, a McBrearty or a Gallen moment. So look, at all I would say is I want to reiterate that there is such a wonderful historic friendliness between Galway and Donegal. I went to St. Jarlath's when it was a boarding college, and we always had loads of lads from Donegal. So a shout out to Alan McFadden from Falkara, one of your favourite sons over there as well, who was in my year in St. Jarlath's. We got to two Hogan Cup finals. But even thinking back, like Sean Mead, our great three in a row player, played with Donegal. Frank Rush, who I wish the very best at the moment. Frank is going through a tough time of it health-wise. Frank, of course, would have won an All-Ireland Under-21 with Galway and a Connacht Senior Championship and then an Ulster Championship with Donegal. Martin, I remember him from 83 as well. So Frank, wishing you well as well. John Coleman is tuned into this broadcast. John would have been on the De Moore McHale's team that won the county championship in 83, was Galway captain then in 84. He's now living up in Letterkenny, a Bank of Ireland official there. He's tuned in. So we'll see you, John, at the weekend as well. A great Galway man as well. Great Galway Donegal cross, you know, sections over the course of the year, people who've played for both counties and a lot of families married into both counties as well. So I think there's going to be a wonderful, great atmosphere in Croke Park next Sunday, regardless of what happens. You're right. Whoever wins, the other county will be behind them for the final.
Okay, Martin McHugh.
Yeah, can I just talk about, I was down at the, I was covering for RT Radio the Derry Galway game, and I stayed in Ward's Hotel, and that's Anthony Finnerty's, Robert Finnerty's dad. So hopefully there's no celebrating there. I know Anthony's probably listening to us there on Sunday evening. I know it's a great GAA pub for all the people, or the old bar for all the people going after the game and everything else. So look at, we're looking forward to it, I think I said. I'm not going to make a prediction, Greg. I just don't feel I want to make a prediction. I don't know how it goes. Please God, it'll go well for Donegal. I'm saying, let's get behind the boys. We need big support. I know they're big support now. Let's get behind them. And even things are going a wee bit wrong, keep behind them, keep supporting them, and you never know, a game can change.
Yeah. Well done, everyone. Thank you very much indeed. Great. Thanks, to Greg. Hook up with you guys down in Galway Bay FM. Thank you so very much indeed. Oisin Kelly, very last word.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. As always, tune Highlands Way for live match commentary as we follow Jim McGuinness and Donegal once again. And just to reiterate what we said at the start of the show, this county has had an unbelievable lift with the magical turnaround that has happened on the Gaelic Games front under Jim McGuinness and this group of players who have put in a phenomenal effort. We have to remember where we were this time last year and the passionate call out that Martin McHugh made in Highland after the defeat in Down. And now, this time around, we find ourselves in an All-Ireland semi-final. We've won the Ulster title. We're into the last four. We're the top four of the country again. And we would like to see Donegal get over the line. And of course, if you're not the part of the thousands that are at Croke Park at the weekend, stick on the TV. And if you're a Donegal supporter, put on Highland. And if you're a Galway supporter, put on the boys from Galway Bay FM. Right.
And you have to try and get a Taylor Swift song into your commentary.
I don't think Ollie's will be beat for a very, very long time. We're not
That Ulster final's up there with it. Martin McHugh, thank you as always.
Greg.
Really appreciate your insights.
Thanks,
Brendan,
Greg.
And all the others. Oisin Kelly, thank you. That's where we leave it on the show today. We're back with you on Monday morning, hopefully in celebration mode.